8 of my Bible and on the screens. That's Isaiah 43, page 728, and I'll be reading verses 16 to 21. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the seas, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's gospel reading is taken from John, chapter 12, starting at verse 1, and that's on page 1079. Hear the gospel of the Lord according to John. Jesus anointed at Bethlehem, Bethany, not Bethlehem. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Moments quiet before I pray. Heavenly Father, may we be inspired by what we have heard from your word this morning, and may my words be your words. And may all our hearts and minds be open to receive your message for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I think I'm springing forward a week late because it was last week we sprung forward with the clocks, wasn't it? But I'm really excited about this morning, and part of that is being here with you lovely people, but I would say that, wouldn't I? But actually, the main reason is that the passage from Isaiah is really exciting, and it is looking forward, and that's our strap line for this morning. And I would declare my hand up front and say that I would really pray that we all leave this place today with a real sense of expectation. I know that might not be an easy call for all of you, and there are people here who'd only be too happy to talk and pray with you if that would help. But what I want is for this talk and this service to be like really uplifting and for as many of us as possible, and encouraging you and not adding to any burden of guilt you might feel. I've seen some sermons and services described as another brick in the backpack. You come into church with 5 reasons for feeling guilty, and then you go away with 10 reasons for feeling guilty. So you feel doubly burdened. So we don't want to do that. And we can't go back in time, so let's try not to feel too burdened by events and decisions that were made in the past. And there are plenty of occasions in Scripture where we're told and asked not to look back. And one of the most famous is enshrined in this witticism, which, apologies for those that may have heard it before. We're in Sunday school, and the teacher was describing how Lot's wife looked back at Sodom when she had been told not to, and she immediately turned into a pillar of salt. One little boy interrupted the story. "My mummy," he said, "looked back once when she was driving, and she turned into a telegraph pole." But we're not majoring on Lot or his wife or telegraph poles this morning, and we're looking at the wisdom and indeed the encouragement in our reading from Isaiah chapter 43, which I think if you look at the screen, it was page 729. If you listen to Ian, it was 728, so it's somewhere between those two, I'm sure, if you wish to follow. As David has already explained, today is Passion Sunday, which is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and in some Christian denominations, it marks the beginning of that two-week period called Passiontide. And apparently the Roman Catholic Church in particular focused on Passion Sunday, and then it took it out of its calendar, then it changed its name, then it turned it all around. But I think it really is a time for looking forward to the Passion of Jesus and to Easter. So just to set some scriptural context, our reading from Isaiah this morning finds the prophet towards the end of his life and towards the end of his ministry. He could probably see the future Babylonian Empire expanding and that exile for those people in Judah and Israel. Indeed, in chapter 39, he says to Hezekiah, "The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon." But more immediately, the people were suffering oppression from the Assyrians. So Isaiah was probably thinking very much of the need to comfort his people. And this passage is part of a long section which actually affirms Israel's calling as God's servant. And as we shall see, Isaiah was looking forward. He was looking ahead into the future. But here was a people facing a long journey through the desert, a journey into the unknown. They may have been living in a strange land under an oppressive regime, but many of them and those that were fit to travel would have been born there. So they would have been leaving something that was the only place they'd really known. And the wilderness does present dangers and obstacles to progress, but it can also be seen as a place of renewal and refreshment. And we do all need our desert places. And perhaps sometimes we can only appreciate, and hindsight is a great thing, and it's one legitimate reason sometimes for looking back. We can only appreciate in retrospect how that desert time or that desert area has been of benefit to us. But Isaiah, as I said, needed to encourage the people. So let's have a look as our bedrock this morning, the words in verses 18 and 19. "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." So we're going to look at what Isaiah said, and briefly at what Mary was doing, and then what we should do. So what was Isaiah really saying? The theme of this passage is the promise of a great exodus. "I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland," verses 19 and 20. We hear echoes, don't we, of those well-known words in chapter 40 of Isaiah. "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." And these words of God are greater even than those accomplished at the Red Sea when Pharaoh and all his chariots and men were drowned. This is the allusion referred to in verses 16 and 17 of today's reading. God's people are being given the assurance that that fate won't await them. Earlier in the chapter, God had said, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." Comforting words indeed at the present time. Isaiah doesn't want Israel to retreat into the past. He may have used the word forget, but he does want Israel to remember that the wilderness had been conquered before and would be conquered again. God's people can be assured that the Lord will go ahead of them and make that way straight. the Old Testament looks forward, not least Isaiah. It focuses on and prepares for Christ's suffering and subsequent glory. In chapter 43, Israel is the servant of the Lord, but it's foreshadowing the arrival of the real servant, King Jesus. And there's always the danger, isn't there, of ignoring the Old Testament as either being too difficult or actually overinterpreting it. But the central message of the Old Testament is always Jesus. Isaiah is looking forward to the exodus that Jesus achieved at Jerusalem. And so was Mary in our gospel reading, where she's described as pouring nard over Jesus' feet. And Judas criticizes this action as sentimental extravagance, although he probably didn't use such eloquent language as that. But Mary was preparing for Jesus' death, which opened the way for something really amazing and new. She was looking forward to when Jesus would die because of his love for us. Mary did what she did because she loved Jesus. She loved Jesus because through him she knew God, and God accepted her as she was, forgave her, and loved her. And that's where we want to be too, isn't it? Because we're accepted for what we are, we want to be forgiven, and we want to be loved. And then we'll thrive. What seems like a tragic event bursts forth in triumph on Easter Day. In our lives, far less dramatic and earth-shattering events can open a new chapter for us. I've reflected quite a bit recently, in many ways, that my husband Roger's death opened a new chapter for me, and in many ways enabled me to embark on my present ministry, surprising though that was. So what should we be doing? We should be looking forward. Yes, we should reflect on the past and learn from it, but we cannot remake earlier decisions, which were often made, let's face it, with the best information available. There's a danger sometimes of idealising the past, isn't there? The good old days and all that. And I can talk because I've got far too much stuff at home from the past, which I won't throw out. But I've recently been burgled, and that actually brought it home when I lost a number of items, and I thought, actually, these aren't really very important in the general scheme of things at all. Why am I fussing about these material possessions? I wasn't, so I didn't. And it can be too easy to retreat into the past or simply resist change when the future looks too challenging. Or we can use it as a springboard to launch ourselves into the future with a new confidence. I think that's what Isaiah is really encouraging us to do. We should allow ourselves to be challenged in the faith as we get to know Jesus better through worship, prayer, and meditation. As Paul says clearly in his second letter to the Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We were given that verse once by a previous curate at St. Saviour's, and I've got it on my notice board by the back door, so when I go out to do the gardening, I think, well, maybe I'm actually going to create something new here, but it never quite works like that. But we should be thinking that, shouldn't we? By going forward with Jesus and receiving the new life he has for us, we can also be witnesses for him. Isaiah was encouraging Israel to be witnesses. He says that God says, he will give drink to my people, my chosen, the peoples I formed to myself, that they may proclaim my praise, that they may proclaim my praise. We don't want to keep that good news to ourselves. Many of you probably look forward to going on a holiday, getting something new for the house or garden or buying a new coat or whatever. We probably all get very excited about discovering the joys of a new walk or a new country house, and we want to tell our friends about it. Do we get just as excited about the challenge of looking forward and how we can make new people in Christ? And how we can be made new people as well as making others new people, or leading them to Christ for him to make them new. Now that's something that will surpass all that we gain from material things. We can be made new because of Jesus. If that isn't exciting, I don't know what is exciting to talk about. whether we've already given our lives to Jesus or whether we are this morning seeking. Jesus is there for us. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. See, I am doing a new thing. So let's just reflect on that as we listen to a song, and then I will close in prayer. Heavenly Father, let us remember that it is you that makes us new, and through your grace, love, and mercy, we can hold our heads up. You remind us who we are and enable us to go forward in hope and expectation, and to shine as your light in what is often a dark world. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.